Golf Today.
Welcome, welcome to this Power Hour edition of Golf Today. George Savarikas, Eamon Lynch, happy St. Patrick's Day to you and yours. For those who are celebrating, we have the Players' Championship in our rearview mirror. One event to go in the state of Florida with the Valspar Championship. As you are coming to the Golf Channel Worldwide headquarters today, what was top of mind for you, Eamon?
I'm actually looking forward. This is arguably my favorite stop on the Florida swing out there. It's probably the most underrated golf course, certainly on the PGA Tour's Florida swing. You know, Bay Hill gets a lot of attention, obviously TPC Sawgrass and even PGA National, but the Copperhead course at Innisbrook is one of the most interesting courses you're going to see out there. And I'm actually impressed at year after year they managed to get a fairly strong field for this event, and that's a tribute to the people behind it these days, given where it comes. I mean, there have been so many big events, signature events on the Players in the last 5-6 weeks. A lot of guys are going to take this week off, but they do actually manage to put together a pretty good field here.
A lot of guys gravitate towards the golf course, old school Florida, Larry Packard design, yep, that's more than 50 years old. And they oftentimes will skip the very beginning of the Florida swing because they know after the grind of Arnold Palmer Invitational, Players, they still want to play Valspar and then maybe take a breather after that. One of the guys who's coming off a win would be Cameron Young. And boy, did he look good at the Players. His clutch of finishes you're going to see on the PGA Tour. Birdies the par 3 17th at TPC Sawgrass, and then the 375-yard tee shot on the 18th, the longest ever in the ShotLink era. He beats Matt Fitzpatrick, who bogeyed the last by one, all the way up now to fourth in the world golf rankings. Young, not in the field this week. He's taking a week off, well-deserved after the dub at the PGA Tour's flagship event, PGA Tour's Florida Swing, concluding with the Valspar Championship this week. That's the annual event in the Tampa Bay area. Gets underway Thursday on Golf Channel. Players take on the famed Snake Pit. That's holes 16 through 18 at Innisbrook's Copperhead Course. One person very familiar with this event in the area, Rondé Barber, who spent his entire NFL career with the Tampa Bay Bucks, 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, Super Bowl champ, and elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame 3 years ago in 2023. And he's an avid golfer, joined the Copperheads, the organizing charity, the Valspar Championship, shortly after his retirement, has been a member of the board of directors since 2018, serves as the general chairman of the Valspar Championship, and joins us now. Rondé, most guys retire, they want to relax on a beach, maybe enjoy a beer, play some golf. So why continue to take on this role as general chairman of the Valspar Championship?
Well, I do all those things as well. So let's not pretend like there's not great beaches here in the St. Pete Clearwater area that I don't enjoy. But it's a labor of my fascination with golf. I got a great team that I work with, my Copperheads, certainly Tracy West and Pro Link Sports, who manage our event, are great to work with. But I can't get away from golf. You know, I've played 16 years in the NFL, as you mentioned, but I've played golf for 25 years, and it's the one part of sport that I know that I'll always love. And this organization, Copperhead Charities, just keeps wanting me to be in front of this, and I'm glad to. We are a charity. I'm the general chairman of the charity that hosts this event. So for me, it's a way to give back to this community that I've been part of for now 29 years, going on 30 years. The $1.6 million we gave last year, hopefully we'll match that this year with a great turnout in the tournament, really reflects on our group and our organization and ultimately me. So 50 years of Copperhead Charities, man. I get to be in front of it for the 50th year. I'm pretty excited.
Rondé, I know you're playing tomorrow in the Pro-Am with Jordan Spieth and Billy Horschel. You're probably trying to get your game in shape, but I have a little spy who followed you around the golf course yesterday who told me you snap-hooked your first 3 tee shots out there. Is this an ongoing problem?
Yeah, so the first hole, Eamon, was a par 3, number 4. I hit it about 10 feet, missed a putt. The next 3 drives were over the top and left to left. So it took me a couple of holes to get myself back on track. But my game is what it is. It's wildly inconsistent, but wildly entertaining as well. So it is what it is.
You just played the James Hardy event on the Champions Tour recently. Do you enjoy the competitive side of golf?
Yeah, that 2 weeks ago was great. I mean, my first I played a couple of days over there, but my round one partners were Jerry Kelly, Retief Goosen, and Darren Clark. And to say I was nervous would be like an understatement. I think I bogeyed my first five holes on route to an 80 something. I'm not going to tell you what the number was. And then I settled myself in and played better the second day. But yeah, competitive golf is what, you know, I do best now. You know, I can't compete on a football field. My knees just don't work anymore, and I'm 50. But on the golf course, yeah, I can take a little run it, guys. Played all my events here in Tampa at Old Memorial. We got a Ryder Cup style event coming up next week. One of my buddies, Billy Heiser, set it up. So, yeah, I'm all about competing on the golf course. It's fun.
So breaking news here, no Phillip Rivers type comeback for Rondé Barber is what we're hearing on Golf Today. And we joke about your golf game. You get a 2.8 handicap. I mean, very sporty. And I was looking it up. You at least got out there seven times in February. Pretty good numbers. When you're playing at Old Memorial, is that 2.8 a good handicap for gambling purposes?
Well, it depends on who I'm playing with. A lot of times I've given up I'm giving too many strokes, man. Like, I want it to go up, and I'm not a sandbagger, so I won't cheat it. But I like playing with the better golfers, that, you know, the handicappers, so I can find a way to stay competitive in those groups.
Rondé, you're in a tough spot in the schedule with the Valspar Championship. You come right after the players. There's also a run of signature events that the top players commit to in the run-up, even before the players. How much work actually has to go in every year to maintain the quality of field that you've got?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we do best is put on a great event. Yeah, the corporate course is amazing, right? The players come for that, for sure. We are not just a golf tournament, though. We have so many activations out here. This year we actually have we partnered with John Gruden. We have an area called The Turn between 9 Green and 10 Tee, where those fans that want to see adult men throw the ball through a hoop can go do that. We put up a big LED screen with a March Madness scoreboard, so people that are wanting to consume both can do that. And it's just really kind of a testament to the things that we do to make this event fun. But to be honest with you, we have the field that we have because Tracy West, our tournament director, is probably one of the best in the business, I think. And I don't know many others, but I know what she does for us, our organization. And I was joking with her at dinner the other night with Hollis, her boss. I was like, she must Jedi mind trick all these guys to come to Valspar. I was like, you will come to Valspar next week. Because, yeah, we are in probably the toughest part of the Florida swing. We follow two elevated events, an API and the players. But yet, despite the fact that we're a quarter of the purse for those other tournaments, we get 20 of the top 50 guys here, plus all these great names that decided to commit later on in this cycle. So we're always excited. We do a great job, but she does a better job of getting those guys to want to come here.
Well, it's a testament to the course, the organization behind it, and the area. I got a curveball for you. You and your twin Tiki played together at UVA, both had longtime careers in the NFL.
Yeah.
Horace and Harvey Grant both played in the NBA, and they have a story where they switched uniforms, identical twins, as part of pregame warm-ups once in the NBA, and no one noticed. And then they switched back before tip-off. What was the best twin prank that you two pulled off?
You know what? Tiki and I are identical twins, but we do not look anything alike, man. Like, if you saw us standing next to each other, you would be like, his rear end is bigger, his shoulders are bigger, his head is wider. we look so different. And to be honest with you, on the field, like in terms of competitive, I couldn't have done what he did, nor does he have the agility or the athleticism. I am the better athlete to do what I did. So I don't know that we had any good ones. Eamon, I probably have some great ones I can tell you off camera, but that's not appropriate for Golf Channel consumption.
Duly noted.
I think that's a question probably better for the Højgaard twins. They haven't stepped out of line as much. Rondé, there were quite a lot of attention on Brian Rolapp's comments last week as he laid out the broad strokes of a vision for the PGA Tour. How comfortable are you, or how anxious are you, in terms of how those potential changes might actually affect the Valspar going forward?
Yeah, you know what? I think about the people that we have working for us, you know, that are really kind of worried about the uncertainty, but I don't see us being affected by this. I mean, we're essentially, as we stand now, kind of a, you know, a second tier event as it is, right? We're not the $25 million entitlement from Valspar. We're, you know, almost half of that. Our purse is what it is. And yet this field still continues to stay strong. So, you know, aside from any major changes in terms of making guys play other events and not wanting to play here, I don't know that we'll be that affected. And, you know, that's the kind of the message we're giving out to our title, to Valspar and Sherwin-Williams. It's what Hollis and I talked about the other night. I mean, yes, it has to play itself out, but I'm committed to fighting for our spot and what we do. And I know Tracy is as well. Our Copperheads are a great group that really support this event, and they'll fight for us as well. So whatever may come, we know that this organization has been around for 50 years. It was formed in 1977 with the sole purpose of hosting professional golf, and that started with the JCPenney Classic. And in 2000, we've been, you know, hosting, since 2000, we've been hosting professional golf. And we intend to continue to do that for a long, long time. It just means too much to this community. There's so many people that rely on us, charity-wise, to give back. And I'm committed to making it happen for as long as we can.
Rhonda, as we say goodbye, do you have a favorite to win this week?
You know what? I'm gonna do the homer thing. I'm gonna say Billy Horschel or Jordan Spieth. <You know? laughs> Victor Hovland, of course, because we like a repeat champion. We have some repeat champions. Sammy's not playing us this week, but Paul Casey won twice in a row. Mm-hmm. Sam won twice in a row. So I'm ultimately rooting for Victor, but I'm going to say Horschel or Jordan. Those are my guys.
All right, we got a Florida Gator or a past champ in Jordan Spieth. Always good to have you on the show. And, again, a big round of applause for everything you and the organization does behind the Valspar.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on again this year. I look forward to a much warmer weekend. It's cold right now.
Golf Today rolling right along. Zach Johnson didn't wait long to make a splash on the PGA Tour Champions. Just turned 50 on February 24th. Already a winner. The James Hardy Pro Football Hall of Fame Invitational. Zach Johnson right out of the gates getting a win on the PGA Tour Champions. Trying to make it two straight as the PGA Tour Champions heads to my old stomping grounds in Tucson, Arizona. Jerry Kelly, an ambassador for Color Guard, serving as the tournament host at La Paloma. What a great golf town. And we now have Jerry with us on the show. And Jerry, how would you describe your connection to this event as both a tournament ambassador, a tournament host for the Color Guard Classic?
I would describe this tournament as one of the most beautiful and one of the most painful tournaments that I'm associated with. Color Guard, I'm so happy to be an Exact Sciences Color Guard and Cancer Guard ambassador, because it's created a community at this Color Guard Classic that everyone with the colorectal cancer, which I want you guys to know, we hit a terrible milestone with that and became the number one cancer killer for people under 50. So people need to realize just how devastating this disease is. So we have got a community of over 950 survivors, caregivers, advocates showing up here this week. And it's grown from about doing it on the 16th green, about 12 people, to 950 now. And it's given people a voice, a platform, just somewhere to be together, so they can talk about their journey together. It's so important, because colorectal cancer isn't talked about all that much. So to get them together and to give them comfort and some, you know, some power to keep fighting, because it's all in your mind to really kind of get at this just as much as it is in the medicine. So it's much more than a golf tournament, as you can tell. I'm not talking about golf a whole lot right now. I'm talking about people, and that's what this tournament's about.
Let's continue to talk about people, Jerry. You've got ribbons on your hat for two friends of yours who passed away from colorectal cancer, Mike Mancini and Rob Andriga. Tell us about them.
I've also got Jill McDonald on here, too, which passed just after the tournament last year. I'll be playing with her wife, Kim, in the Pro-Am. One of my really great friends growing up, Rob Andringa, you know, won a national championship in hockey and just absolute stud growing up. He was always 2 years younger than me, but playing at the same level I was. That's how good he was. He contracted the disease when the screening age was at 50, and he contracted it at 48. And, you know, we had him in the pro-am a couple times, and he's passed, unfortunately. And I got to know Mike Mancini and his wife, Carol, through this tournament. And, I mean, he was doing hikes. He was doing marathon. He was doing everything, just a stud. And we lost him as well. And Jill McDonald had a 9-year battle with stage 4 cancer, and we just lost her last year. Liz Healy, I could mention her as well. She's been a huge advocate at this tournament. So it really tugs hard when you get to know these people, become friends with these people, and to lose them to something that is so preventable with early screening. I always tout the 9 out of 10 early detection is a great survival rate. 1 out of 10 late detection is a terrible survival rate. So the age is now down to 45. It's so important because the 30 to 45 age group is just contracting this disease faster than they know why or what's happening. So at least at 45, please get screened. And really, if you have a family history, find out when that diagnosis was, because I think it's 10 years before that family diagnosis, you can start getting tested. So please, it will save a loved one's life. It could save your life. Please do it.
Important message and words that carry a lot of weight. Jerry, let's spin it to what we're going to see this week at the Culligard Classic. Give us a little preview and guys to watch for.
Well, you're definitely going to see some ball striking. If the wind blows, this is a pretty treacherous golf course. There's not a whole lot off the fairways to save you. So it doesn't bode well for me the way that I swung it the last couple weeks. But I'm definitely going to be there on a straight golf course, I hope, and give it my best. But you know, you look at how Zach came out of the gate. There's so many guys coming out. Those 50-year-olds get younger every single year. I don't know how, but there's just strong competition across the board. You know, and then you look at a guy like Kemeneth and Langer, the guys who are over 60 and how well they're playing. It is anybody that tees it up in this tournament can win. There's no question. This is a deep, deep tour. It's pretty cool.
How's your body and game holding up now? You're closing in on 60, Jerry. Have you managed to shake off another Wisconsin winter and you're ready to go?
Right before the James Hardy, I popped a rib in my back. And, you know, those intercostal muscles are a little tougher to come back from than I'd like. I was so close to 200 ball speed. I was trying to pop it right over that spot, but you know, that probably did me in a little bit.
Well, there are always better days ahead. Jerry, wish you a great week out there, and thanks for the time.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Up today. Bye.
Well, Vanessa Borovilos is a 4-time drive, chip and putt national finalist at Augusta National Golf Club. She was the girls 10 to 11 national champion back in 2018. In April, she'll head back down Magnolia Lane and make her debut in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. The 19-year-old from Canada is a sophomore at Texas A&M. She won the Moon Golf Invitational in Florida in February, and in last year, the 2025 Honourable Mention All-American, won the Chevron Collegiate, finished 6th in the Canadian Women's Amateur, and reached the round of 64 in both the Women's Amateur Championship in Scotland and the US Women's Amateur in Oregon.
Here's Vanessa alongside Texas A&M teammate Caetana Fernandez-Garcia-Poggio, both women holding their invitations to this prestigious event, and we have Vanessa now on the show on Golf Today. And Vanessa, you've been to Augusta National before, so a return trip. for those of us who haven't experienced getting the invitation, us mere mortals, what's it like to receive it as you're weeks away from the Augusta National Women's Amateur?
I mean, it was almost like a heart-stopping moment because this has been a dream for a long time now. And all of my packages that go to our main apartment level back where I live in Texas. And once I got the notification that I had, it said parcel pending from Augusta, I was like, oh, crap. So I went to go pick that up, and I called my family immediately, and it was pretty cool just to be able to hold that invitation in person.
Are the nerves any different, Vanessa, when you've been there in a competitive setting in the drive, chip, and putt so often before, or is this totally on a different league?
I think I've learned to kind of settle my nerves a bit, even in the big events like the USAM. But no doubt the drive, chip, and putt as juniors, like, we were all shaking in our shoes. I think even the parents were more nervous than we were. But I'm going to treat this almost like any other big event and just try to focus on my preparation.
You're all the way up to 25th in the World Amateur Golf Rankings, just won the Moon Invitational. How have you been able to take your game to this level? What's changed to get to that next step?
I feel like a lot of gym work has come into play. I know as a junior, I wasn't in the gym a lot, but ever since coming here, I mean, our workout coach, Tom, he's been putting us through some pretty good workouts, and it just makes me feel better both physically and mentally, and I'm able to hit different shots, shape the ball different ways because of how much stronger I've been getting. And I think just the mental aspect of it, like for so long, I'm sure a lot of us still do this where we think that golf is life and it's great, but there needs to be some sort of balance in there. So being able to hang out with my team here, just do stuff outside of golf, it's helped me more on the course.
Do you find you have to remind yourself, Vanessa, that you still have two rounds at Champions Retreat to negotiate to get to Augusta National? Because that's proven to be a very difficult test for players in the history of this event.
Yeah, I mean, the job is not over yet. Getting the invitation is just a baby first step. But there's no doubt that I'm going to be thinking about Augusta the whole week. But there's definitely a lot of preparation that needs to be put on to Champions Retreat before I get the chance to play.
Your college season, Texas A&M staff, the top three women's team. What are practices like, and where are you out playing today?
So I'm just in the middle of my practice facility right now. I actually thought this call was tomorrow, so that's my bad.
Respect
our practices
the
are, yeah. So our practices just consist of quite a few drills. We all kind of just do our own thing out here, but a couple of our last Friday practices have been relay races. So they put us into groups of three, and we have like a wedge session, chipping session, and putting, and we're all trying to race to the finish line. And it's honestly some of the most fun practices we've had because we're all like pushing each other. We're all heckling the other teams. And it's just fun to come out on top. Like last week, before our last event, the loser had to do an ice bath. And man, it was cold, but we all had to do it together, so it was fun.
Nice. I'm used to getting heckled on set with Eamon, so you're getting a walking mile in my shoes.
No ice baths on this set, though. We'll let you get back to your practice, Vanessa. We hope it pays off for you in a few weeks at the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and thanks for the time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.